Last week, we had the amazing opportunity to hear from four of our elders and look back at the history of Sweets Church. We got to see the history that shaped our church. We heard about different missions that we were involved in, and we were able to hear stories about faithful people who acted in faith that not only led to a growing church here at this location, but also a church that is bursting at the seams and hosting three different services only 15 minutes away from us. Reflecting on last week's service, I couldn't help but remember the text from 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 to 7, where Paul writes when speaking about the church, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." What we witnessed last week was a testimony of a church that faithfully worked to share the word of God, a church that believed in the promises of God, and a church family that went through ups and downs, but held fast to its purpose in this world. This testimony was only possible because individuals were committed to being obedient to the one who gives the growth. Next year, we get to celebrate 150 years as Sweets Church. The work started by one man was honored by God and grew into something amazing. The obedience to God by this congregation over those years led to God's blessing over this church for almost 150 years. So I want to ask, today, will this be the same testimony that we can share in another 50 years? Will we commit to being faithful members of this church, of this Sweets Church, but also to God's global church, who will obey God through good times and bad times, through growth and through times where we aren't seeming to grow, through times where we rejoice together and through times where it's hard to do so? I want to look at today what it means to be a faithful member of church. Of this church, maybe, who is ready to work together as a church body to maintain unity and faithfulness to what God has called us to today. I want to do that from Acts 2, verse 37 to 47. And we are going to look at three truths from this passage. So first, in order to be a faithful member of this church who is ready to work together as a church body to maintain unity and faithfulness, we need to believe. Second, we need to be baptized. And finally, we need to be active or be devoted in the life and the work of the church. Let me give a little bit of context before we read the passage. So Peter has just preached an amazing sermon. This was on the day of Pentecost. And Peter shared with those around him the truth of who Jesus was. He shared three prophecies that revealed that Jesus was the Savior who came to die and then rise again for the sins of the world. He closed his message to them by stating that the Jesus that was crucified was both the Lord and the Savior of all creation. Let's read the passage. This is Acts 2, verse 37 to 47. And it says, "When they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?' Peter replied, 'Repent and be saved, or repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.' With many other words, he testified and strongly urged them, saying, 'Be saved from this corrupt generation.' And those who accepted his message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 people were added to them. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all, as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved." Looking at this first mark of a faithful church member, we see that we must believe. Just as in Acts 2, when we see the new Christians being pierced to the heart, we, just like them, must believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Faith in him is foundational to church membership. Not only do we need to believe in him as our master, but also as the one who saved us from our sins. If we call ourselves members of the church, but have no faith in what the church is built on, we are not living as faithful members of the church. So how can we have faith? Romans 10 verse 14 spells it out for us, where it was, in order to have faith, a person must hear. In order to hear the news of salvation, it needs to be preached. And in order for someone to preach the good news or the gospel, they must be sent and equipped by God. Romans 10 also tells us that everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. Another way to put this is how Peter phrases it in Acts. He says we need to repent of the things or who we once were. We need to repent of what we once relied on and what we once did, and we need to turn away from those things. When we hear the truth from the Word of God, this should cause us to turn away from our sin and turn toward Jesus. We need to turn away from who we were, and we need to move toward the new creation that he has created in us. If we want to be effective and faithful members of the church, we need to believe in what the church teaches and follow what we read in Scripture. Let me put it this way. Have you ever joined something, like a club or a group? A few years ago, I was asked to join a running club. There were a group of Christian guys who would meet early in the morning every Wednesday. And they would come for a short Bible study and then go out for a brisk 5 to 10 mile run. It seemed like a really cool group to be a part of, don't get me wrong. The fellowship with other believing men and Bible study was right up my alley. But the requirement that you needed to be a runner goes against everything that I stand for. I think it's cool that people enjoy torturing themselves for miles, but I can think of many other ways to be healthy that don't involve excruciating pain and self-inflicted torment. I asked if I could join with my bike and just ride along with a group, but I was told that that wouldn't work because the pathways that they went on weren't for bikes, but they were for runners or walkers only. Now, when we join the church, not just as observers, but also as members, we need to be ready to stand for what the church believes and values. If you are unsure that you can fully commit, it's fine to watch and observe and hang out to see what's going on. But in order to commit to being a member of the church, you are also committing to joining the church in what it does and how it functions and in what it believes. You're committing to a long-lasting relationship with the people here. And you are engaged in the mission of the church, making disciples of Jesus through our words and through our actions. There's an interesting story in Matthew 7 where Jesus is teaching his followers on the Sermon on the Mount. He is closing his sermon when he gives a sobering message. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, or do miracles in your name?' Then I will announce to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers.'" When we become members of the church, we cannot just say we agree with what the Bible says. On the other hand, we cannot just do what makes us look like a good and faithful Christian. Both of these things, our belief and our actions, must be present. Now, this is an equation that I learned in my time in seminary, and it looks like this. It says stated belief plus actions equal actual belief. I'll say that again. Stated belief plus actions equal actual belief. We can know all the right things, but without the actions to back them up, we are living contrary to what we stand for. On the other hand, we might deny the truth of the Bible, but try to live as good as we can according to the standard of the Bible. This too is living contrary to what we are called to as members of the church and as believers. We need to know the Word of God so that we can act out what we believe, so that we can effectively and rightly live as followers of Christ and members of his church. To be a faithful member of a church means that we believe in the things that the Bible teaches. The second mark or truth of a faithful member of the church is that we are baptized. After we had stated that we believe, the next step is to be baptized. I want to share today our position as a church on this topic so we can understand why this is important for us at Sweets Church. And very simply, here at Sweets Church, we believe in believers' baptism by immersion, because that is what is most clearly taught in Scripture. In Acts 2, Peter tells the people after they have believed that they must repent, showing their belief, and then be baptized. This was their next step in their Christian journey. As we confess that we believe, when we hear the gospel and how it learns, or and we learn how it applies to us, and when we accept this gospel, the next step for us is to be baptized. Baptism is not just something that is suggested in the New Testament, but rather it is commanded. It's not just a cute ceremony. We don't just do it out of tradition or superstition that somehow it might fix all our problems or get us closer to God. Instead, we are obedient in baptism. We show obedience because Jesus commanded us to do so. This is an outward sign of what has happened inside of us that we can show. Baptism is an amazing picture, and it shows our identity belonging to Christ. It is the symbol that we as the church use to show that we bury or put to death our old self, and when we rise up out of the water like Jesus was raised from the dead into a new creation. The water symbolizes the washing away of who we were, and it points to the new person that we have become through putting our faith in Jesus. Throughout the Bible, we have this pattern we can see that comes back again and again. God has repeatedly been bringing people through waters, separating them from what was and taking them into something that is new. And this is part of the powerful image that we see and experience when we are, when we witness someone being baptized. Starting at the very beginning, when God created the earth, Genesis tells us that the earth was without form and void. God took what was unorganized and he turned it into something that had life and water. With Noah, we see him being saved through the water, leaving behind a world that was evil and corrupt, and coming into a life with a new beginning. Moses' life as a child was at stake. The Egyptians were killing all the children of a certain age, but after passing through the water, he was saved by the daughter of Pharaoh, being given a second chance at a life that would be used by God in an amazing way. Israel, when they left Egypt, were led by God to the shore of the Red Sea. The Egyptian army was right on their tail, and God opened up the sea and let them pass through the water, taking them from what once held them in slavery and bringing them to the other side with a promise of freedom. We see more examples of this in Scripture, but what I want to say is that God has given us this pattern where we see time and time again an old way of life or past slavery being changed into a new identity and a giving of a promise through the passing through of the water. This is an image of what Jesus has commanded each and every believer to imitate. Even more, when we are baptized, we are identifying with the death and resurrection of Christ, illustrating our death to sin and our past and our new life in him. Just as he was given new life, so we will have new life through and in him. Romans 6, verse 4 to 11 says this: therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too may we walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body, ruled by sin, might be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over him. For the death he died to sin, once and for all time. But the life he lives to God. So you too consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. When we practice baptism, we are declaring this truth. Our old life of sin is gone, it is behind us. And we are now living in the newness of him. We are living as new creations. The work of this new creation happens at the time that we are saved, when we confess that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. We are made new. And when we are baptized, we are confessing publicly and celebrating publicly as a church family that Christ has done a work in your life, bringing you from death to life. Galatians 3, verse 27-29 tells us this: for those of you who are baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. There is no Jew or Greek, slave or female, male or female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. When we believe and when we are baptized to show this belief, we belong to something great. This isn't just limited to this church community, but it unites us with believers all across the world and through all times in history. This is why we can work together with other churches in our community. This is why we can travel around the world to places like the Philippines and Mexico as a church to work with people there in our common mission. This is why no matter where you move or travel around the world, you can find brothers and sisters in different locations with different customs and different languages, but all sharing in this, the belief and baptism in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, the new Christians in Acts 2 were cut to the heart, and they were baptized. They believed and they were united into this family of Christ through the symbol of baptism. They put aside their old ways, and when they put on Christ, this new person, they acted out what they stated that they believed. They devoted themselves to the work of the church. The third truth we see here out of Acts 2 is that in order to be a faithful member in the church, we need to be devoted. The new Christians here were devoted to a number of things: the teaching of the apostles, the fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer. I believe as a church, we are practicing these things generally and well. But are you personally making sure that you and your families are acting devoted to this group of believers that we call our church family, the ones that we walk out our Christian lives with? I'll phrase this question in a different way. Are you devoted in this church in a way that both you are able to grow in community and in your spiritual walk, and that you are able to help those around you walk in the mission that we are called to as the church, as Christians? There's an interesting phenomenon that occurs in churches. And as we moved around a little and as I studied in seminary, I experienced and heard stories about church experiences often. Most of the students at the school moved there from different cities or states and had to find new churches to attend while they were doing their studies. One of the prevalent conversations that we would have around the school were about the churches that we attended. There were a lot of good churches in the area, so we got to hear a lot of stories. Often enough, I'd hear about someone who was not satisfied with their new church, or would talk about how they had no to little connection with the people there. Instead of letting them vent and complain to me, I'd ask them, "How are you involved with that church?" The majority of the time, the people who weren't satisfied with their church or not feeling connected would not be involved in the church outside of the Sunday morning service. I then shared with them our family's little secret. And it was as soon as we found a church that we wanted to call home, we got involved. Our kids were attending all the programs. Lindsay signed up to help with kids ministry, and I jumped right into worship ministry playing drums there. We both started going to Bible studies as we were able and finding, you know, almost every excuse to get plugged in. Then came their excuses. "Well, you know, I don't have time. I'm a full-time student. Or I have a job that makes me tired. I have so many things to do and I don't have enough time." Well, funny thing is, the same people typically who were so busy that they couldn't invest in the church were also the same people who managed to play all the intramural sports that the school had to offer. They were the same ones who played Xbox for hours at night. They were the same ones who hung around the cafeteria playing Dungeons and Dragons for 6 to 8 hours every Saturday. The problem wasn't in their lack of time or the amount of assignments that they had to finish. The problem seemed to be in their priorities. The things that we believe are important will most often shape our experiences. Let's go back to that equation again. Stated belief plus actions equal actual belief. Our beliefs will shape our priorities, and our priorities will expose what our actual beliefs are. When our week is so busy that when Sunday rolls around and we decide it's probably better to sleep in than to go to church, what does that say about our priorities? When we say our kids can't come to youth or study God's word together and have fellowship with other youth in the church because they're too busy, but you're driving them all around the countryside for soccer, baseball, and hockey games, where do your priorities lie? When we are too tired and busy to come to Bible studies for an hour throughout the week, but we could spend countless hours on our phones or watching TV, where do our priorities lie? What do you actually believe? I'm not bringing this up to shame anyone here or to guilt anyone. I'm addressing them because as a family and even as an individual, I have to look at these things, these same things throughout the years. It's a real thing that we need to be mindful of. being devoted to the church that you claim membership in means that you make a priority over other things. Your church family and your spiritual health should be one of the most important things in your life because they are what help shape you. I want to encourage you, be here, be present, and be active in the life of the church. Being a member of the church means that you will be active in some way. Being engaged in the church does two things. It helps your spiritual growth, and it helps you help others who are part of this family. Being active is not only attending services and programs, but a key part is also giving back. This can be done in so many ways. As a church, we have overhead costs. We have building maintenance and projects. We have programs that rely on funding. We have salaries and missions that depend on the generosity of those who are part of this family. And it's not only money that can be shared, but goods and time as well. For example, we were looking at some old church artifacts when the church was built. And in a news clipping, we see old church members who brought trees and sand and stone to help build the church. But there was an honorable mention in the end of the newspaper article where it mentioned the name of one gentleman who must have gone fishing that morning and brought some fish to fry for the workers. You know, maybe this was his only contribution. Maybe it was the only thing that he could contribute. But he did, and it got mentioned and remembered. Another way to give back is by volunteering. We have so many different ministries that rely on volunteers. We have our kids' ministry that not only teaches our kids about the Bible, but it also gives their parents an hour a week. And for some, this might be only their only hour to sit and enjoy a time of worship and teaching. We have youth ministry. We have young adults ministry. We have different Bible studies that are led by volunteers. We have adult Sunday school team volunteers. We have maintenance volunteers, administrative volunteers, worship team volunteers, coffee serving and media volunteers. We even have volunteers that no one else sees, who after Sunday services and throughout the week, make sure our facilities are clean and ready for the next use. And as a church family, we are blessed by them. Every role and every job matters. In Ephesians 4, verse 16, it says this, "From him, that is Christ, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part." Every part of the body is needed. Every member in this church has a role. This is how God has designed it. And we all work together to strengthen the body. Think of what happens when you sit down for dinner. Your hand grabs a spoon. The spoon feeds food into your mouth. Your mouth chews the food. It adds saliva. Your throat swallows the food. Your stomach and intestines digest and distribute nutrients to strengthen the body and then helps it grow. If one part of our body fails, our whole body soon follows. We are all necessary for the growth and the strengthening of the church. We all need to do our part according to the gifts that God has given. For some, it might be many resources. Others, it might be time. But together, we work to build the church of Christ. So I want to close by asking this. Are you able to commit to being a faithful member of the church? Do you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Have you been obedient to Jesus by being baptized? And finally, are you devoted to your church in a way that will not only help you grow, but also in a way that will help with the growth of the church?